Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh, and let me again welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. Please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. That's Hebrews chapter 11. And we will read our foundational scripture we have been using for our teaching on the meaning and the importance of faith. The meaning and the importance of faith. And I will be using the New King James Version of the Bible for this teaching. And if I reference any other version, I will inform you. So if you have found Hebrews 11, let's read verse number 6. And it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Amen. So God rewards those who diligently seek him, not just the casual onlooker. When you have made the decision to go with God, then you must be willing to go all the way with him. God is not a fad that is here today and gone tomorrow. He is everlasting. Please open your Bibles to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. And we will read verse number 17. And it says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." First of all, the scripture is telling us that we can have different levels or different degrees of faith, because it tells us, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." So you can go from small faith to great faith, and we will get into that a little later. But I wanted to let you know that we live by faith. Faith is not a fad. Our lifestyle shall reflect the faithfulness of God. Now, we have established that the meaning of faith is not traditionally what the church is called by asking the question, "What faith are you? Catholic, Christian, or Jew?" Well, that might be religion, but it's not biblically. The simple meaning of faith is acting on what you believe, and that belief should be the Word of God. Acting on something you believe requires action. Now, the script, I gave you the meaning where it says faith is acting on what you believe. So, in order for you to have faith for it, you must act on it. Now, please, you're already there in Romans. Please go to the book of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we will read verse number 17. And it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes by hearing. Comes by hearing. And faith is always present tense. It's not tomorrow, it's not yesterday, and it's not going to be. Faith is always now. Now, what we are teaching is the word of God, but other messages can be heard, and you can get faith for it. But in our teaching, we are referring to the word of God. There's natural kind of faith, and there's spiritual kind of faith. But we're talking about the God kind of faith. We will reference other situations where people have heard other things that did not line up with the word of God. And tragic consequences have been the results of those listening to other voices. And we will reference some of those tragic situations as we go with our teaching. Now, please turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to read verse number 12. And it says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. We are in a faith fight, family. And a fight means simply a conflict, a battle, or war. But the good thing about our fight is we have already won. Our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, accepted the challenge and defeated the devil for us. We just have to maintain our victory in Christ by faith. Amen. We have an adversary, the devil, and he is going to use every tool in his toolbox to deceive you into abandoning your belief and possibly, eventually, your faith. Now, you already are in 1 Timothy. Please go back to chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to read verse number 1. Now, I told you that Satan will do anything he can to possibly make you abandon your belief and eventually your faith. 1 Timothy 4:1. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So are we in latter times? I believe we are. And it says here, it says some will depart from the faith. How can you leave the word of God? But the word tells us some will. Then we must therefore take heed to what you hear, which is found in Mark 4:24. And take heed to how you hear, which is found in Luke 8:18. Because Satan is so clever and cunning that you have to be careful how and what you hear. Because he will use any method and person if he can to destroy you. Remember, faith comes by hearing. Remember, I said to you, you're going to have to be willing to go all the way with God, and you have to give it everything you have if you want to win. You have to say it with until it, you have to stay with it until it produces results. Stay with it until it works. In the process, Satan will attack you. Amen. You will be criticized, falsely accused, and misunderstood, but you have to be convinced. Dr. Michelle and I, we have been criticized. We have been falsely accused, and we have been misunderstood. But you know what? We didn't care. We knew the word of God is true, and we stood solid as a rock. And you have to do also if you want to win. Do you remember the formula that I gave you for faith? F equal B plus A. And that simply means faith equal belief plus action. Let me repeat that again. Our formula for faith is F equal B plus A. Acting on what you believe. That is what faith is. Now go to Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to read an event, a true event that took place in biblical times. And we're going to see how a person or a disciple used their faith. That's Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to begin with verse number 22. If you found it, I will read and you follow along. Beginning with verse number 22. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. Verse 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Now, let me put a pin here for a second, because I want to go back and ask a question. In verse number 26, it says, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and saying, 'It is a ghost.'" Now, you mean to tell me those disciples that have been with Jesus for a little while, they could not recognize Jesus? They didn't know that was Jesus walking on the water? They talking about it was a ghost? If I see a friend of mine walking down the street that I've known for some time, I can say, "Oh, that's Robert," or "That's Bobby." I wouldn't say, "Oh, that's a ghost." So why did the disciples trip out and talk about, "Oh, this is a ghost"? Just a little food for thought. Verse number 29. Jesus says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Verse 29. So Jesus says, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Didn't Peter act on Jesus' command when he told Peter to come? Peter acted. Did he not? The other disciples didn't push him out of the boat, did they? No. Peter voluntarily, after he heard Jesus say come, he acted on what he believed, and he got out of the boat. That is action. Faith is acting on what you believe. So Peter must have believed that what Jesus said was true when he said, come and walk on the water. He did not just believe it, but he acted on what he believed. Did he not? Now watch this. Verse number 29. And it says, and when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. Peter walked on the water. Now, Peter is the only man other than Jesus himself that has ever any recorded in history or any book who's ever walked on the water. How did he walk on the water? Peter acted on what he believed. Did he not? He believed in that moment when Jesus said, come, Jesus meant to come. Peter stepped out of the boat. That's action. Peter was saying, in essence, hey, Lord, excuse me. If that is you, excuse me, let me come out of the boat and walk to you. And Jesus says, come. Come will require not just a belief, but an action. Verse number 29. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Amen. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse number 30. It says, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Now, think with me for a moment. It says, but when he saw, S-A-W, that word saw has to do with the sense world. And what I mean by the sense world, the things that you can see, the things that you can smell, the things that you can taste, the things that you can hear, and the things that you can feel. We as human beings, we are sensory perception. In other words, if we can't see it, taste it, smell it, hear it, or feel it, then we don't go with it. In other words, when he said he saw the wind, he was in the sense realm. He left the spirit realm because he was walked on the water, but he left that realm and he came into the sense realm. It says, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. The circumstances will always bring fear if you allow it. If you look at the circumstances, they will bring fear. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse number 18. And it says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. Now, do you look at the things which are not seen? You look at them through the eyes of faith. If you look at the word of God through your eye gates by faith, you will walk on water. Now, we do not deny the circumstances. I want to make that very clear. We do not deny the circumstances. The wind was blowing. That was true. And it also caused the winds to be unsettled. That was true. That was no question about that. But verse number 30, it says, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, the word boisterous means noisy, rowdy, unruly, tumultuous. The wind was blowing, but the wind was also blowing on Jesus, was it not? And he was walking on the water. So what was the problem with Peter? If Jesus was walking in the wind And he said to come, why and what are you afraid of? What happened to Peter was he began to look at the circumstances, the wind. He allowed Satan to direct him or to distract him from his goal, which was to go to Jesus, even though it is recorded that he walked on the water. He let the circumstances override his faith, and fear entered. Here is the interesting mystery about this event. Here's the waves unsettled and the winds contrary before Peter stepped out of the boat, but he still came out of the boat. Remember, the wind was contrary before he stepped out of the boat. The waves were unsettled before he stepped out of the boat. So he had to see that prior to that, but yet he stepped out of the boat. Peter had a moment of lapse in his faith, which caused fear in him, and he began to sink. Now let's look at verse 30. It says, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. If you look at the circumstances, you will sink, and it doesn't have to be walking on water. It can be your finances, your health, or your family situation. Perhaps there is where some of you are missing it. You start looking at the circumstances. When you look at the circumstances, you begin to sink. As long as you keep your eyes on the circumstances and off the Word of God, you will sink. There are many Christians today that are going down because of that. You cannot look at the circumstances. I want to emphasize this again. You do not deny that the circumstances or that the problem exists, but you deny them the authority to dictate the terms of your life. That is the big difference here. Yes, the wind was blowing. Verse number 30, it says, and 31, beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and called him and said to him, O you of little faith. Jesus did not say to Peter that he did not have any faith. He said, O you of little faith. Now think with me for a moment. Here is the man Peter walking on water with little faith. I said he was walking on water with little faith. Now, I would put this event, me personally, in the miracle category because all the laws of flotation were suspended for a moment of time when Peter walked on the water. I mean, ordinary human being can just not step out and walk on the water. He's going to sink because of the laws of flotation. But at this moment, because Peter was in the spirit realm and he was walking by faith and not by sight, those laws were suspended and he walked on the water. In retrospect, here is Peter walking on the water with little faith. What could he do with great faith? He probably could fly like Superman. Amen. That shows you the power of faith. If you could walk on water with little faith, what can you do with much faith? Let's read on with verse 31. And caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Can anyone tell me why he doubted? Because he took his eyes off Jesus and began to look at the circumstances. Every time you do that, you are going to go down. you are going to begin to sink. Your life is going to sink. Your marriage is going to sink. Your job is going to sink. Your finances is going to sink. Everything you do is going to sink. Amen. We do not deny what we see, the circumstances. We deny its authority to tell us how to act and how to respond to the issues of life. Amen. Jesus was walking on the same boisterous water. He was standing in the same wind, and he did not go down. He said, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" That is why it is important for you to know that you can have the Word of God, you can know the Word of God, and you can know the will of God and still go down the tubes. Amen? Well, the clock on the wall is telling me I'm out of time. But please join us next week when we continue our teaching on the importance and the meaning of faith. But please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.